Hello everyone, I'm Divya and today I'm going to be speaking about Taming the Saurus. That specifically focuses on my experiments, or rather my experiences with Torquesaurus as a static site generator tool. Now, I'm sure given the number of virtual conferences that we've all attended so far, we pretty much echo the same sentiment that virtual conferences don't just cut it when it comes to the human interaction and to the level of engagement that we have at in-person conferences. So in order to switch things up a little bit, I have sort of come up with a strategy, and I hope you folks will play along. Now, you may ask why I am doing this, but I've realized that even with the best efforts on the part of the organizer or the speaker, as an attendee, it is very difficult for you or for anyone really to actually be sitting at the other end just listening to a person go on and on about a particular project, even if it's extremely interesting. So in lieu of that, I think you all should be able to see a slide on your screen with a QR code. What I'd like for you all to do is to actually whip out your mobile phones and download any QR code scanner app. Throughout the presentation, I have made this the standard that the QR code scanner slide ends up looking similar to this one. So whenever you see this, you have to scan the code and see for yourself what what I'd like for you to see. So in this case, this was supposed to be my introductory slide, and the website that leads you to talks more about me. Of course, since this was an example, I'll not actually leave you to read through the introductory bits. I'm Divya and I am a senior systems administrator with HSBC. Alongside my day job, I love contributing to open source projects like Kubernetes, Litmus Chaos, and I also had the extreme good fortune of working with CERN on the previous year's Google Season of Dogs. Now, owing to these open source contributions and the Google Season of Dogs, I was exposed to Torquesaurus as a static site generator tool. And I'm hoping you guys will play along with the QR code bit, because I really want for you to be engaged in this presentation and to see for yourself the results of whatever I have been working on as projects instead of actually pasting them on the slides in front of you. So without further ado, let's talk about some of the cool stuff that I've had the good fortune of working on, and they happen to be on Torquesaurus. So here's the QR code again. Now, the first project that I'm going to be talking about is the documentation for Rusio, which is CERN's exascale data management system. Now, what is Rusio, how I got involved with the project, and what is the end result? That is what will be visible to you if you scan the QR code. I will be talking about the involvement bit. Rusio, as I mentioned, is an exascale data management system. It was developed at CERN, but it's used across scientific communities, irrespective of whether or not they're based at CERN. So it's written in Python and Flask, and as part of Google's Season of Docs 2020, I had the good fortune of working on the documentation for this data management system. More details about the project and what were the expected deliverables can be found on the link here. So if you wish to check that out, and if you are interested in actually understanding what was our end goal at the start of Google Season of Docs 2020, you can visit this link after the presentation is done. So why did we choose Docusaurus? Because there was a documentation system already in place, right? So one of the major reasons that we chose Docusaurus was the introduction of JSX modules in the versions of Rusio, the previous to my joining Google Season of Docs. So there was JSX, there were a couple of JSX modules introduced as part of Google Season of Code, and the documentation obviously required support for those JSX modules. Now in the version of Docusaurus that is there currently, there's no JSX support. Let me clarify that. But what is the end goal is to migrate to the version 2, which does have this sort of feature, and it was not at a stable version when we started off the project. So our short-term goals are to actually move to version 2, wherein we have JSX support for the documentation. Now another thing that we wanted to achieve was to remove the source code dependency. Now before I joined the project, the documentation was heavily dependent on the code base for Rusio. Now most of it was handwritten, like 75% of it was handwritten, but 25% of it derived the documentation from the code base, that is the Python and Flask code base for Rusio. So what typically used to happen was that when there were changes in the documentation or introduction of new modules or anything, we required that the code base and the documentation be in sync by recompiling the entire tree structure for both of them. So that was an additional task that on the part of the administrator or the maintainer of the repository, and that is something we wanted to eliminate by separating the code base for the project and separating the documentation repository. So currently, after the Google Season of Docs, we've achieved that, and this also contributes to ease of maintenance really, because currently a lot of it is in Markdown, and previously it used to be in RST. Now restructured text or RST is not something everyone's familiar with. It's not difficult, but it's not something everyone is familiar with, as opposed to Markdown, which is a more common language, so to say. So that contributes to the ease of maintenance. And setting up a GitHub workflow is also very simple, so that was another factor in choosing Docusaurus. And the previous documentation was built on Sphinx, and like I said, the search feature in Sphinx was very rudimentary and was not up to the mark. This is in no way a criticism, but It's just something that I noticed when I was comparing different tools which we could base our, which we could implement our documentation on. So DocuSaurus has by far the most advanced features for site-wide search implementation, which is powered by Algolia Search. And from an administrator or a maintainer perspective, there's not much that a person has to do to implement this or to maintain this once you specify the API key in the configuration file. So those were the list of reasons we chose DocuSaurus. Now, obviously, the project wasn't without its challenges because which project is really? So the original documentation, as I mentioned, was derived from source code, and the static site generator tool previously used was Sphinx. So one of the major problems with this was that a lot of the documentation was handwritten because there is that thing, right, wherein you have handwritten documentation and you have documentation that's derived from APIs or from a source code. So we when we use Sphinx as a static site generator, your code base is basically how do I put it? So your Sphinx documentation for this particular project was basically residing in the same repository as your code base, and that sort of was an overhead for the folks who were maintaining the documentation, since this was not something that was supposed to be a priority in their minds. And converting that documentation to Markdown was a big challenge because everything was in RST. And as I mentioned before, restructured text prior to the Google season of Docs 2020 was not something I was familiar with. It is a wide-known format, but I'm specifically not familiar with it. And no good RST to Markdown parser was available. So converting the handwritten documentation to Markdown was a big challenge, and deciding which should be converted to Markdown and which should retain the static format was also one of the challenges that we addressed. The next couple of challenges are relatively minor because they are things that have been already addressed or are being addressed in future releases. So nested sidebars were a difficult implementation in the version 1.x, whichever version you speak of. Now it's been addressed in version 2, and since our ultimate goal is to move to version 2, we don't foresee an issue with that specifically. Static file inclusion is one thing you will see as a common theme in future slides as well. Customizing your static file directory is something I think should be a feature for documentation generators. So that is one thing that I think has potential to be worked upon, and it is being worked upon and has progressed quite a bit in the past couple of months. So another feature I'm excited to see. Now we come to another QR code slide again, and this is my second project with DocuSaurus as a static site generator tool. It is obviously a little different from the previous one, and this involves an open source chaos engineering tool, cloud native chaos engineering tool named as Litmus Chaos. So if you scan this, you will be led to the version, no, you'll be led to the website for the litmus chaos on Docusaurus version 1. We are migrating to version 2 in the later half of the year, but currently we are, you know, sort of fixing the last couple of things that we always have to fix after moving to the next version. We're doing that bit. So currently what you will see is the Docusaurus version 1, but I am going to be talking about the migration bit and how the experience is when we move to Docusaurus version 2. So what is Litmus Chaos and how did I get involved? As aforementioned, I am the SigDocs lead for Litmus Chaos, and it's an open source project. So via contributions is how I got involved with the project. Litmus Chaos is a cloud native chaos engineering tool, and for the uninitiated, chaos engineering is a discipline wherein you introduce chaos and improve the resiliency and availability of applications to customers. So for more details around the project documentation, you can visit the GitHub repo that's mentioned on the slide here. And for more details about chaos engineering, which honestly is a separate topic to, you know, delve into by itself, you can visit the website on the screen, that is principlesofchaos.org. So when I joined Litmus Chaos as a contributor, it obviously was on Docusaurus already. It's not a collective decision that I was part of, but recently we were speaking of exploring other options and seeing if there was a better fit for the documentation that we had, but we chose to migrate from version 1 to 2 instead of going to another tool. And this slide details some of the reasons why that choice was made. So one, as I mentioned in the Rusio section as well, was the ease of maintenance. Honestly, I genuinely believe that Markdown is a simpler format to maintain. A lot of folks might disagree, might agree, I understand, but I come from a place wherein I am looking at also engaging contributors in the community, and Markdown honestly is a lower entry level barrier for them as well. And Docusaurus has an easy integration with many of the hosting platforms, so it's easier for us as folks behind the scenes to sort of set it all up and set up the GitHub workflows as well. Now, as aforementioned, newer contributions are something we are looking at actively, and as the project grows, we are going to have folks from different countries where probably English is not even the primary language. So it feels very non-inclusive to not have multi-language support at this point, because it's probably more comfortable for folks to read stuff in their native language and gain a better understanding of the product than, you know, having all of it written in English. So that's one thing. And my personal favorite, which may seem like a very silly and stupid reason for continuing to use Docusaurus and migrating to version 2, is the dark light theme switch. So now in the current version, that is the version that you'd probably be seeing on your screens after scanning the QR code, we are at version 1, so this is not there. And as an IT professional, I'm very used to having a dark theme on almost everything that I use, whether it be my Instagram or whether it be my Twitter. I mean, these are the things I use as part of my profession, but VS Code or even GitHub, all of it is on dark code. So when the documentation that I sort of am a part of in building has that feature, I'm pretty excited to actually use it. So that's one of the last reasons that I think we continue to use DocuSaurus. And honestly, the last bit when I spoke about the dark light theme switch, it was a widely requested feature from the community as well. So I think I'm not really alone in that regard. Now, like with the previous project, we've also had major challenges in this one. So migration was a big activity that we undertook in the last quarter of 2020, and it was one of the major challenges that as a documentation team we had faced with DocuSaurus, because till that, more or less, DocuSaurus was not a sort of nothing in DocuSaurus was a pain point except the nested sidebars that I'll address next. So why migration was particularly a challenge was due to the lack of adequate documentation. Now don't get me wrong, it's documented, but I feel like it doesn't have sufficient coverage of the various features that are changing in version 2 and what you can expect. There are probably a couple of pages, and every specific use case is not addressed, and I understand coming from a product perspective it's not very feasible to do so, but when you are using the product, for example, the last bit wherein the content rendering changes across versions, that was something we struggled with, and we thought we were doing something wrong when the content from previous versions didn't show up in the new version, but that was just a feature. So that's something that I would like for documentation as a whole to address, because I understand that every specific use case cannot be listed down, but having a sort of knowledge documentation or a sort of repository wherein you have the commonly listed issues would be a good thing, because I don't want to be going to GitHub and filing a PR every time I sort of face a roadblock during migration. But everything said and done, it was a lot easier once we got to version 2, because there were a lot of cool features, as I mentioned before, and the nested sidebars also came in, so it was a win-win for everyone. But migration was a bit of a challenge for us as documentation maintainers and leads. So features I'm excited to see in future versions, most of these I've already covered, so I'll quickly run through them. So the static assets directory customization is something I'm really rooting for, because I am genuinely looking forward to actually customizing the static assets directory in both of my projects, since it's a very outdated concept to have all the static folder under the static directory. What if I actually want to change it? So that's something that I'm looking forward to, and a significant amount of work has already been done in this regard. Multiple themes, again, it's a good to have. I wouldn't say it's absolutely necessary, but it's good to have. And the reason for this being that you are allowed to customize your documentation the way you want it with your own CSS files. But I, as a documentation lead or as a maintainer for documentation, want to be able to choose themes and not actually write them from scratch and expend that little effort. So that I want to be able to choose that, and I'm happy to report that this work being progressed, albeit slowly, in this area as well. Now, sidebars, as I mentioned before, has been a constant sort of grouse that I've had. It's either that the sidebars are not nested, or there's implementation is difficult. So auto-generated sidebars is something I am really looking forward to, because a couple of other open source projects that I work on have sidebars that are auto-generated, and honestly, somebody should not actually have to go and populate the sidebar configuration file unless there's an explicit requirement. So auto-generated sidebars is something I'm looking forward to, and better migration CLI. So based on my experience in the Litmus Chaos project, I hope for a better migration CLI, that or at least better documentation in this regard, so as to address at least some of the pain points that folks go through while migration, or even having them listed somewhere in the documentation for migration will help. Because if you are just referencing them in one-liners, it's not really helpful as a maintainer or as a lead who's undertaking this exercise to actually have just a one-liner about it with no solution. So that is one thing that I would really, really appreciate if it was actually improved. Now, that being said, I'm at the end of my presentation, and I'd be now open to taking questions. So please, if you have any doubts, do let me know. And thank you so much for all your patience and time. And I hope you all stay safe, and see you on the other side.